Amen. Let's turn in the book of Daniel. We'll kind of pick up a little bit where we left off. Last week, what we were talking about is, who is Cyrus? And we were looking at these kings that were in the days of Daniel. And I want to read in the book of Daniel from chapter 9 and verse 24 through the end of the chapter. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore, to build Jerusalem, unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the desolation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined, shall be poured upon the desolator. I'm using the word desolator, because when you look in the original language, it isn't just the desolate, it's the desolator. Okay.
And the oblation to cease.
And what?
The oblation to cease.
And the oblation to cease, yes.
Not desolation to cease.
Oh, where did I... Oh, the oblation, yes. That's right. The oblation to cease. And that means the offering or the sacrifice. Okay. Let's go back to the first verse and work our way through this. 70 weeks I determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. Now, brethren, we cannot just say, when Daniel talks about God's people, we cannot just say that they are natural Hebrew people. This is a message for the church, okay? The Old Testament is meant for the church as well as the Hebrew people, okay? We had a Jewish man years ago came to one of our conferences out in Illinois, and he was so hostile about the songs we were singing. He said, "You have no right to sing those songs unless you're thinking about Jews, natural Jews." And, we're singing the songs of Zion because we belong to Zion, brethren. Amen. And we can sing the songs of Zion. We can sing the songs of Jerusalem because these have a spiritual meaning as well as the natural meaning. Amen. The New Testament makes it very clear that we are the seed of Abraham as Jesus is the seed of Abraham. And if we are of Jesus, we are also the seed of Abraham. So, let's talk about the 70 weeks. Now, this literally, language is funny. I don't know Hebrew. All I know is what I read in the books that I look it up. But my understanding is that this, if we were to translate this quite literally, we would say 70 periods of seven. A week means seven, okay? The word Sabbath, by the way, means seventh. Okay? So 70 periods of seven are determined. So what these weeks are, these 70 sevens, is years. So let me do a little math here. 70, I'll write it up here. 70 periods of 7. And what do you get when you multiply that, Cody?
70 periods of 7. Does that mean 70 times 7?
Yes, it does.
Can you give me a second to figure that out?
Well, we're going to have to move right along here, Cody. You got to be quick.
7 times 7? 480.
490.
Pretty good.
Okay, now we're going to have to do a little math here today. Okay, 70 periods of 7. In other words, what? This is a revelation that is coming to Daniel. All right, let me go back and tell how Daniel is getting this revelation. It says that he was. He says, I was speaking and praying, verse 20, I was confessing my sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Now he's talking spiritual talk here, okay? While I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, now the man Gabriel is actually an angel, Gabriel. Gabriel is an archangel. The word arch, A-R-C-H, means high and mighty, very powerful angel. Now, we only know the name of three archangels in the Bible. There's only three names given. I suppose you can read these apocrypha books and come up with all kinds of other names, but those are not the Word of God. So Gabriel is the one archangel. By the way, what else do you know about Gabriel?
He's a messenger.
And where did Gabriel appear again in the Bible?
To Mary.
Gabriel came to Mary, and he told Mary that she was going to have a baby, and the baby's name was going to be called Jesus. Okay?
In the presence of the Lord.
So this angel Gabriel came to him, who he had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly. See, this is an angel that can fly. And touched me about the time of the evening oblation, which is the sacrifice. And he informed me and talked with me, and he said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. In the beginning of your supplication or your prayer, the commandment came forth. In other words, God gave Gabriel a commandment. Go tell Daniel this message about the 70 weeks. Okay, go tell, give him a commandment, and I came to show you, for thou art highly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, I believe it was this same time, if you go over into the next chapter, you see verse 13, where this Gabriel also says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now this is another kind of angel, but it's a dark angel. It's one of the devil's angels. Okay? A very powerful devil that fell with Satan. Maybe Satan himself. He said the prince of Persia. So we know that different countries have different unclean spirits that rule over them. And I believe that there are different cities, even. Our cities have gotten so big that there are certain demonic spirit cities that rule over certain cities. For instance, if I were to say San Francisco, what would you think?
Homosexual.
You would know that that's the epicenter of homosexuality. There's got to be a devil. There's got to be a demon, a devil that is over that city. When we speak of Las Vegas, what do you think of?
It's a prince over the city.
A prince, yeah. The prince of Las Vegas. Gambling and prostitution. Mm-hmm. It's all legal there. So even in these mountain communities sometimes, the prince of alcoholism.
Pharmakeia.
Pharmakeia, drugs, yeah. Ruling over certain cities. When you think of South Chicago, what do you think of? Violence, murder.
Homosexuals.
You know, this is what's going on in some of these places.
It's always been that way.
What about poverty?
Poverty, yeah.
Some of these third world countries.
Yeah.
Under poverty.
Houston, there's abortion.
Abortion city, yeah, USA, yeah. New York, known as the Big Apple. As far as I'm concerned, it's the big rotten apple of disobedience to God.
Haiti, witchcraft.
Haiti, the whole nation of Haiti. The nation of Haiti was founded by the sacrifice of a pig. Did you know that? When they rebelled against Britain, they got their independence. And can you imagine a little Haiti getting an independence from Britain? Powerful Britain. And the U.S. had all we could do to beat Britain. Britain must have been really losing the power at that point. Okay, anyway, he said that the Prince of Persia withstood me for 20 days. So Daniel prayed for 20 days, prayed for 20 days. And the minute Daniel started to pray, God sent Gabriel. He said, go give Daniel this message. But when the angel Gabriel, the powerful angel Gabriel was coming, this powerful devil spirit over Persia, and what is the name of Persia today?
Iran.
So, you know, Iran, don't make fun of her and say she's just a little wimpy nothing. There's a very powerful devil that's assigned to that nation. Okay? The Prince of Persia withstood me for 20 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Now, Michael is another archangel. Michael. So we know the name of three archangels. Who are they? Gabriel, Michael, and the devil. He used to be called Heliel. Before he fell from heaven, he was named Heliel. It's not in the English Bible, but it's in the Hebrew Bible. His real name is given as Heliel. Okay, so those three are the most powerful of all the angels, but Gabriel wasn't even powerful enough to overcome this prince of Persia, which might have been the devil himself. Okay, the prince and one of the princes came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. And now he remained there. He remained there binding that prince of Persia. He said, but I am now come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is many days. Okay? Now, let's go to verse 20 in the same chapter, and then we're going to get back to what he says. And then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. So there was another powerful devil working with this prince of Persia, the prince of Greece. And by the way, these princes, the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece, these were world powers in that day. They were the most powerful kingdoms of all the world in that time. He says, but I will show thee what that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. So in other words, Michael is holding the door open so that when I leave, I can go back to heaven. Otherwise, I won't get back through. So there's a lot of spiritual warfare going on. Now, let's get to the message that the angel told Daniel. He said that there are 70 weeks for your people. But then he divided the 70 weeks into what? Well, first of all, what is going to happen? What is to be accomplished in this 70 weeks?
Six items.
There were seven items.
Seven?
Yeah, I found seven.
Oh, okay.
Let's go through these seven items that were to be accomplished. First of all, to finish transgression. What's transgression?
Sin.
Sin. And the revelation that Cody had here in the beginning is, he said, there's going to come a time when there will be no more wicked people on the earth. That's putting an end of transgression. No more sin. All right. Number two is going to have, and make an end of sin. Okay, I'll put that all in one. Number two, to make reconciliation for iniquity. What's iniquity?
Lawlessness,
rebellion. So this lawlessness that you see with people burning down restaurants and smashing store windows, and that's lawlessness, okay? God says he's going to put an end to that. There'll be no more of those kind of demonstrations. Boy, you know, I was thinking, the songs we were singing, See My Jesus on the Cross, the people crying. You think we got police brutality? How would you like to live under that Roman system? You disobey, they haul you out and nail you up. All Pilate has to say is, nail him up. You think it was democratic? No. It was a police state. They ruled. And you know what? In that environment, Jesus came. In that environment. What do you think it was like in the days of Hitler? Police state. What do you think it was like in the days of Stalin? Police state. You know what? Jesus could have come under those circumstances. I think it was just as bad with the Romans. Although the Romans claimed they were more just. Maybe they were, I don't know. But I know they were cruel. And if they sentenced you to death, they might just send you to Rome and turn the lions loose on you. They might burn you. They wanted law and order. Okay, well, getting off of that now. Reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness. And again, that's something that I think Cody was saying, that there will be nothing but righteousness here on the earth. And to seal up the vision. Now, I'm not sure that, I think that's part of the everlasting right. No, that's a separate one, sealed the vision. And the prophecy. In other words, he's going to seal the prophecy. This prophecy that Daniel's giving, it's going to be sealed, okay? And to anoint the most holy. What is the most holy? The most holy place, the Holy of Holies. And what is in the Holy of Holies? What is in the most holy place is the Ark of the Covenant. Now, why is that called an Ark of the Covenant? Why do you suppose it got a name like that? I'm just asking.
That was the Lord's idea.
What was in that Ark of the Covenant? The Ten Commandments. Was that a covenant that God made with his people?
He gave it.
Yeah. And what did God say? He said, if you follow this, I make a covenant with you. You obey me and you'll prosper. And no man will be able to turn you aside. No man will be able to defeat you. He continued to repeat the covenant with his servants throughout history. He told Joshua the same thing. He said, Joshua, wherever the sole of your feet treads, as long as you walk uprightly, no man will be able to defeat you. You look like you had something to say. Oh, okay. All right. Now, he said, know therefore and understand. So what is the thing that's going to start this clock? I'm going to say that God has a 70-week clock. By the way, do you know that God, our calendar, let's call it a God's calendar. Do you know that God has several calendars? Did you know that? God...
He's got a
3.5-year calendar. He's got a 70. Well, that's part of that 3.5 is part of the 70-week calendar or the 470-year calendar. I believe God has a 7-millennium calendar.
Doesn't he have a 50-year calendar?
He has 50-year calendars, the Jubilees.
It's a 1,000-year calendar.
Well, that's the millennium. So, what did Peter say? A day with the Lord, isn't it in 2 Peter?
He says 1,000 years.
Yeah, I think it's in 2 Peter. Let's look it up so that I can read it to you and you will know that I didn't make it up. 2 Peter, here it is, chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord, oh no, it's verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day. Man, I think 100 years is a long time. Can you imagine 100 years? Tell me, what year was your mother born?
I don't remember. I think 1923, maybe.
23?
I'm not sure.
Look, we're almost to 2023. Mm-hmm. Do you realize that's 100 years? My father was born in 1902. My grandparents, whom I knew, were born in 1880 something or other. That's 140 years ago. I knew people that were born 140 years ago. I knew people, my grandparents, I knew. I didn't know my dad's parents real well because they died real young. 1880 was only 15 years after the Civil War. You think that's ancient history? That's not that ancient. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. So when God created the heaven and the earth, what did He do? He set a time schedule. He set a calendar, didn't He? And He set it as a seven. He set seven days as a cycle that man was to keep. So we have now, how many years have we been since the creation?
100.
You guys don't keep track of this stuff?
It's a lot of over 6,000.
Yeah, the creation, they finally figured out what they think is the correct time. The creation, from following the so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, and he was so many years old, and he was, you know, following that all the way through and tracking it all the way back, you come to 4004 B.C. You see, they were off by 4 years when they set the A.D. or A.C.D.C. I'm doing electricity. B.C. and A.D., right? No, A. Help me out here. Before Christ and after Christ.
2,080.
Yeah. Okay, Jesus was born. He was not born in the year 1 A.D. He was not. They missed it. He was born in 4 B.C. So, how many years from 4004 B.C. to 4 B.C. is what? It's exactly 4,000. How many years now since the birth of Christ till today? 2024. So add that all up, it's now 6,024 years. We are into what? We are in the seventh millennium. And the seventh day is supposed to be a day of rest. It doesn't seem like rest right now, does it? It seems like unrest. But consider, now I've said this before, you probably remember me saying it. Adam was the last thing that was created on the sixth day. And how did a day begin? How did the Hebrew people reckon days? The evening and the morning. So when the sun went down, it was the beginning of another day. So Adam was the last of the animals that was created. I mean, there were cattle and dogs and pigs and all kinds of things created. And just before the sun went down, Adam was the last thing that was created. Now, it doesn't say in the Bible just before the sun went down, but we know the order is that he was the last of the sixth day. So, Adam opened his eyes, he was created, he looked around, everything looked nice, and then the sun disappeared. And what was there? It was nothing but darkness. So the seventh day, the beautiful day of rest, began with darkness. And I can imagine Adam there in the garden, and these animals making noises, and cows bellowing, and wolves howling, and cats snarling, and what have you. And he's thinking, whoa, what's going on here? Somebody, can we find a light here somewhere? No, he had to endure darkness until the light came again. So I'm still saying I believe we're in the seventh millennium. And the seventh day began with darkness. But we're going to see the light, brethren. And I'm not saying it's going to take 500 years to do it. Don't go trying to make those kind of calculations. It's just that it started with darkness. Okay, so did I read this? The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now you know that has to be spiritual language. You know this whole verse has to be a spiritual verse. How do you burn works up? So we'll post a notice. Okay, everybody bring your wicked works. We're going to have a big bonfire in the middle of the city. So everybody bring your evil works and we'll burn them up. How are you going to do that? This is spiritual. It means that God is going to cause such heat and pressure that he's going to drive all this wickedness out. He's going to bring a furnace. It's going to burn like an oven. Isn't that what Malachi says? It shall burn like an oven. And only the stubble will even be burned up. The day of the Lord. We're talking about the great and terrible day of the Lord. Well, let's get back to the 70 weeks then, okay? 70 weeks, and there are seven things that are going to be accomplished by this 70 weeks. Isn't that interesting, again, the number seven, that God's such a perfect number in God. I cannot imagine what it would be like to do mathematics if seven were our number. I can't imagine. I mean, ten is the number of order that we use. When we get to 10, we start with 11, we get to 20, then we start over 21, then we get to 30, 31, 32. So 10 is our number of order, but somehow God has a number 7 that is such a perfect number of fullness and completion in God. So, he said, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah, so the thing that's going to set the whole thing off here is going to be, there's going to be a command that is going to be given by some king to go back and restore Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem, Daniel is part of the captivity. They were taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. They were brought into Babylon. Daniel was one of the royal seed of probably a son or grandson of, was it Zechariah? No. What was the king there? Oh boy. Anyway, the prophecy actually of Jeremiah told him that because of the way he was handling things, his royal seed were going to be taken to Babylon, and they were going to be made eunuchs. And so Daniel was one of those. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, these were some of the princes. These were some of the most intelligent, the most brilliant people of the royal seed. And this is what was going to happen to them. But you see how Daniel handled this situation? He could have been bitter. He could have been angry. He could have said, "I'll never have a family. I've been made a eunuch. You know, I'm a slave." But Daniel became the chief of the presidents of Babylon. The next to the king, he was the most wise and the most trusted of all the men of Babylon. You see what happens when you take a son of God and put him in a rotten, bad place? He can blossom like a lily, like a beautiful flower, and come forth in power and respect. Other people respected him. So he said, here's what's going to set the whole thing off, is the command to rebuild. Now, let me go through a couple other things first, and then we'll get back to this command to rebuild. He said, from the commandment to rebuild unto the Messiah shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And the street will be built again, and even the wall. And that word wall is the open square, the moat, everything, whatever it involved, it would be rebuilt. Even in troubled times. Now, that's Nehemiah. We're going to have to go back to Nehemiah and see what these troubled times were when Jerusalem was being rebuilt, and how the enemy fought against Nehemiah to stop the building. See, it's not just that God is interested in stone walls and stone masons and that type of thing. It's a picture of the house of God, the people of God. God wants a people built as living stones into the house of God. And the enemy is going to fight us tooth and nail to try to prevent that from happening. He's going to cause division. He's going to cause hatred, mistrust. He's going to cause everything possible that he can possibly do to prevent that from happening. And the devil did not want these people to go back to Jerusalem. He must have just been gleeful. "Oh yes, I got them out of that place. You know, that place where they had their temple. I'm never going to let them go back." But he couldn't stop them. And God said that there, even the prophecy of Isaiah, that he said, "I'm going to raise up Cyrus, and Cyrus is going to begin to release my people." Amen. So, he said there were two things there. So one of them is there's going to be a period of 7 weeks, which equals what? 49. And then there's another of 62, right?
Yeah.
62 weeks. And what does that equal? I have to look. My mind isn't that quick either. 434. Okay, now, when we add these up, what do we get? We get 483. So 483 years. And this adds up to 69. Now, what's the problem here?
We're 1 week short.
We're 1 week short of the 70, right? We're 1 week short of 70. So, he said that all of this, the 69 weeks, is going to bring you to the beginning of the Messiah. In other words, Jesus Christ. Now, brethren, how did they miss the coming of Jesus? He laid it right out in mathematics. What was the confusion? Well, there was a lot of confusion about years back in those days. I was looking it up the other day. They didn't have a continuous ongoing chronology calendar that dated back to the Garden of Eden. They would start a new calendar every time a new king came along. And so you see, in the first month of the first year of the king of such and such, I was doing thus and thus, and the word of the Lord came to me. And then the next one would come along, there'd be another king, and in the seventh year of the third month of the fourth day of the next king, such and such would come along. And we found out that they didn't start their year on January 1st. And as far as we know, while they were in Babylon, they probably started their year in the fall, sometime around September. So it was really mixed up. And if a king died, say, in October, they might not he didn't get credit for that year. You know, he'd get credit for the next year. I don't know. It was pretty mixed up. So when these people go back and try to figure out, well, what year did King such and such really make the decree to do thus and thus? So finally, today, they've gone through all these clay tablets and everything else that they've found dug up and everything. And I think they've come to where they believe they've got a pretty reliable, within 1 or 2 years, they're pretty reliable now as to when these decrees were given. So these are the decrees now that are going to start the 70-year calendar. Okay? So let me go through them. Here we are.
When the three people got it right, people that came to the caravan of the east.
Yeah, and they weren't even Hebrews.
That's right.
But they didn't get it by doing this calculation. They saw the star.
But you had all these other people, the Orientals, they had some kind of a record-keeping thing, and South America had other ones running around, that they had records.
But did they have access to Jeremiah and Daniel?
No.
Why not?
I don't know.
We don't know that they did.
Don't these things all come together to jive or something? It's like, where was Noah's Ark?
And then let's consider those who knew by the Spirit. How about Simeon? How about Simeon?
Anna.
And Anna. How old was Anna? She was over 100 years old. Very old. And they knew by the Spirit when that baby came into the temple. The Lord stirred them up by the Spirit. See, this is why we need the fullness of the Holy Spirit, brethren. You don't just need the blood of Jesus by salvation. You need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You need a baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need a second baptism, a third baptism, whatever. And the third baptism is a baptism into Christ, the fullness of Christ. So, we have, what's confusing now is that we have several decrees that were issued. And this was confusing to people for many years. First of all, you have Cyrus. Can we put Cyrus over here? Remember we talked about Cyrus yesterday. Now Cyrus gave a decree to begin to send the Jews back to Jerusalem. But he didn't say anything about rebuilding the city. He talked about rebuilding the temple. All right, so the temple and the city are two different things. So his decree was given in 537 B.C., and a year later, 536, see, it took people a little while to get ready, the people started to go back. Caravans of people, you know, you don't just pack up and load up your pickup truck and say, I'm going to drive back to Jerusalem from Babylon. Roads, bridges missing, rivers to cross, thieves, bandits. No, you have to go, and they had to have soldiers to guard these people while they were going back. So the king is ready to let them go. This was Cyrus. Remember the prophecy. How many years was it between the prophecy of Isaiah and actually the Cyrus? It was more than 100 years when God said to Isaiah, I'm going to raise up a man called Cyrus, and he's going to let the people go. He's going to release the people. So we have one decree, and that was to build the temple. I'm just going to put temple here, right? Now, we have Darius. Remember we talked about Darius last week? Or Darius? D-A-R-I-U-S. Darius. And he made a decree. And let's read that in Ezra. And this, his decree was 518, right? B.C. You see, as the numbers get smaller, we're getting closer to A.D. Let me read that in the book of Ezra. You don't mind doing a little history 101 here, do you? You know, we could preach a lot about mercy and salvation and all, but you guys are all saved. You know that already. So we're going to find Ezra. Ezra comes just before Nehemiah. And we're going to look in Ezra chapter 6. Okay? Ezra chapter 6. And the first 12 verses here. It says, and Darius the king made a decree. Ezra must have been a contemporary of Daniel. But you know, Ezra never mentions Daniel's name. Daniel never mentioned Ezra's name. So Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. And there was found at Archmetia in the palace that is in the province of the Medes a roll, which is a book. That's the way they had books in those days. And therein was a record thus written. The first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be builded. The palace where they offered the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid, the height thereof 70 cubits, and the breadth thereof 70 cubits. In other words, Darius found the record that Cyrus had written. How many years ago? About 9 years earlier, doesn't it? Yeah. So that record had almost gotten lost. Apparently people were challenging this. Is this right? Are the Jews allowed to rebuild this temple? And I'm sure they were getting a hard time. So somebody went back to the king and said, look, you know what these guys are doing? It's illegal. You didn't approve this, did you? No, he didn't. But the king ahead of him did. So they found the thing. It says, and with three rows of great stones and a row of new timber, and let the experience be given out of the king's house, and also let the golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which is in at Jerusalem, be brought unto Babylon, be restored and brought again unto the temple, which is in Jerusalem, and everyone to his place, and place them in the house of God. Now, therefore, and it goes on and on with all the decrees that were given here. And verse 12, I think, is the last one. It says, and the God that hath caused his name to dwell there, destroy all kings and people that shall put to their hand to alter and destroy this house of God, which is at Jerusalem. I, Darius, have made a decree, let it be done with speed. So, the law of the Medes and the Persians. He made a law, he made a decree. Cyrus had already made that law, and Darius has reinforced it. He says, yes, that's the way it's going to be. Now, get out of here and quit bothering me. Let those people go ahead and do their work. So, a second decree was made. Now, if you try to do the math to any of these decrees, the 537 or the 518, you come up with a wrong number. You do not come to the beginning of Jesus Christ. You don't come to his birth, you don't come to his messiahship, either one. However, There's another decree, and this is also given in the book of Ezra. And this is Artaxerxes. I have an awful time spelling this guy's name. How'd you like to have that for a name? A-R-T. I can start with that. A-X. E-R. X-E-S. And Artaxerxes made another decree. They say 458, but it's given like this, 458, 457. So this is one of those where the calendar kind of flowed over and didn't match up perfectly with our calendar. I'm going to go for this one, 457. And that's the one that I have come up with. But it was that decree. When Artaxerxes made a decree to rebuild, not the temple, but the city. Now, this is the decree that Nehemiah is going to go on. This is the authority that he will be building. And let me read it in Ezra now. You've got the book of Ezra open. Let's go back to Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. And we'll start in verse 11. And Ezra is writing, Ezra is actually copying the letter of Artaxerxes. He's copying his letter into the Bible here, okay? He says, now this is the copy of the letter of the king Artaxerxes. This is not a photocopy, by the way. This is not a camera image. Ezra copied it word for word. King Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra the priest, the scribe. See, he was a scribe, so he was a writer. Not everybody knew how to read and write in those days. If you knew how to read and write, you got a good job. You could work for the king. You could sit in a nice place. You didn't have to get out and sweat and dig dirt and do horrible, miserable things that people didn't like to do. You had a nice job if you were a scribe. Okay? And even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes in Israel. So he was a scribe of the word of God too. Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra. Boy, he had an ego, didn't he? He called himself king of kings. Unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of God of heaven, perfect peace, and at such a time. I make a decree. You notice he didn't have to go through Congress or anything else to make his decree. He was the boss. I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. In other words, he's saying, all you guys are free to go now. You're not captives anymore. What was the prophecy of Jeremiah? Jeremiah said you're going to be in captivity for 70 years. There's another one of those sevens, isn't it? Seven. The perfect time of captivity. Okay? Forasmuch as thou art sent of the king and of his seven counselors, there's another seven, isn't it? The king had seven counselors, to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of thy God, which is in thy hand. He called him thy God, you notice. He didn't say my God. Amen? And to carry the silver and gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem. See, they believed that God lived in Jerusalem. They didn't have the revelation yet that he lived in the heavens. His home is in Jerusalem. We need to send these people back for their God. That's kind of the way they thought, you know. But you know, God stirred them up and told them, this is what you're going to do. and all the silver and gold that thou canst find in all the province of Babylon, with the freewill offering of the people and of the priests, offering willingly for the house of their God, which is in Jerusalem. This is not a tax, by the way. This is a freewill giving. That thou mayest buy speedily with the money bullocks, rams, lambs, and their meat offerings. In other words, you can buy all the offerings you need with this money, and their drink offerings, and offer them upon the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. And whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren to do with the rest of the silver and the gold, and do after the will of your God. In other words, you have a free will. It's a blank check. Spend it any way you want it. The vessels also which are given thee for the service of the house of God, those deliver thou before the God of Jerusalem. What was the problem with Belshazzar? What was the mockery that brought the end of Belshazzar?
He was drunk in parties.
He took these vessels. He defiled these vessels. These vessels were considered holy. He purposely defiled them by having a big drunken orgy, and then he saw the handwriting of the hand on the wall. Man, wouldn't you be shocked if you saw a hand, just a hand, come out and write "Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin"? Weighed, examined, found wanting, ended, or something like that. Come to an end. Anyway, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Verse 21, we'll skip over. And I, even Artaxerxes, the king, do make a decree to all the treasures which are beyond the river, that whatsoever Ezra, the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, shall require of you to be done speedily. In other words, he gave the order for other provinces that were way out there beyond the river. You cooperate with Ezra. And by the way, didn't we decide that Artaxerxes was the king during the days of Esther? I think we did, didn't we?
Yeah.
I think he was the king. Yeah. Unless more than one of them. And
it was
Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus, yes.
Ahasuerus
is
the same as Artaxerxes. I'm not going to get into this.
They say it's the same. Yeah, these guys had lots of names. Some of their names were titles.
Yes, I am. I'm not going to get into that.
I think Ahasuerus. I think that was a title.
Yeah, it probably was. So let me just the last two verses. And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God, verse 25, that is in thy hand, set majesty. Or he's setting up a government here now too. The people that had gone already under Cyrus and Darius, they were just kind of, they had no law. They were just doing their own thing. And, you know, somebody did wrong. They didn't know what to do about it. But now he says, set up magistrates, set up judges which may judge all the people. In other words, he's setting up a police force too. They didn't disband it. You're going to enforce the law, because there's people that don't want to keep the law. Judges which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, and such as know the law of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not. In other words, this king recognized that God, the God of the Hebrews, that God had a system of laws that would keep people in order, would keep people from sin, and if it keeps people from sin, it keeps people out of trouble. He recognized that. He said, your law is just as good as mine. Enforce your law. Set up judges and magistrates. And whoever will not do, here's the punishment, he even set up the penalty. Whoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death, the ultimate penalty, or banishment. In other words, you're sent out to some desert island somewhere, you can't come back, or to confiscation of goods. In other words, we're going to take all your property, or to imprisonment. So whatever the penalty requires, this decree. Now let's go from this decree, and we won't do Nehemiah at this point. But let's follow this decree. Go back to Daniel again, and let's do the math on this. This would be chapter 9. So now I do not understand why God divided this 69 weeks into 7 and 62. Obviously, there's something that happened in the first 49 years. In other words, the first Jubilee from after this, after 457. Maybe it took them that long to build the temple. I don't know. Or to build Jerusalem. I don't know. But he divided it, and then he said, and after 62 weeks, in other words, after the 69, this first, this second, after this, then what's going to happen? And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. In other words, sometime, this is the coming of the Messiah, but after he comes, he's also going to be cut off. Okay? But not for himself. All right, let me stop right there. And we're not going to go to the prince of the people yet. All right, let's do the math of this number here. Okay? The number 457 BC. So, from... Here we are, this number, from 483 to 457. Did I get that right? How many years do we have?
26.
So the year is 26 AD. Now, that's not the birth of Jesus. What happened in 26 AD?
He was put to death.
No.
Oh, no.
The coming of the Messiah.
Yeah, the coming.
That's when he was baptized. See, the birth of Jesus in 4 BC, that was just the coming of Jesus. That was not the coming of the Messiah. He did not become the Messiah until his baptism. And then he took on the Messiahship. He was subject to his parents up until that time.
His ministry began
in the year 26. Okay? Now, so the 69 weeks had been fulfilled on this day, right here. So this is the reliable number, right here. I had never, until recently, been able to figure this out. I have never had my numbers come out right. I tried these numbers. I tried to apply it to make it come out to the birth of Jesus, 4 BC. Nothing would come out. But this adds up. This is the year here. All right, I'm going to go for 457 because I think it's the more accurate one. 26 AD. Now, what happened after 26 AD? How long did Jesus have his ministry? 3.5 years, right? And what, so we come now, the coming of the Messiah after 69 weeks, but there's a week missing. So now the clock runs now for another 3.5 years. And then what happens?
Messiah's cut off.
Then he's cut off. So this 7490 year calendar all of a sudden stopped at the time of Jesus' crucifixion. It just stopped. The 70th week was only half fulfilled. Right? Let's see what's going to happen in the 70th week here. Let's go back and read it again. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And let me skip that now. Verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate or the desolator. In the midst of the week he will cause what?
Sacrifice.
He will cause the sacrifice to cease. What sacrifice? What was happening in the Jewish temple of Jerusalem right up until the time of Jesus' crucifixion?
Animal sacrifice.
They were sacrificing animals. Okay? When Jesus became the perfect Lamb of God, that should have ceased. As far as God was concerned, that's it. No more animals. My perfect Son has given His life, spotless Lamb,
Amen. Perfect
man, sinless man. His blood now is better than the blood of thousands of bulls
forever.
And goats forever and ever.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
But what happened? Did they stop?
No.
No. They didn't stop. Now, if you're going to go ahead and continue with a sacrifice, goats and lambs and bulls and what have you, and God's Son has already been sacrificed, how's God going to look at that?
Abomination.
Ignored it.
Ichabod.
Oh, he isn't going to ignore it.
No, they ignored it. They ignored what happened.
They ignored what happened.
Yeah.
But he says, this is an abomination. This stinks. They're trying to bring animals, clean animals, but unclean compared to my Son. I've already paid the price. What are they doing?
Yeah. Unbelief.
And he said, this is an abomination that is going to bring desolation. What is desolation?
Destruction.
Now,
but for the word of God to be true, He will cause a sacrifice to cease, which it did, even though in the natural it didn't, in the mind and heart of God it ceased, it was over. So they brought forth sacrifices, but God didn't recognize them.
However, He did bring that to an end.
Yeah, I know. But
now let's look at the prophecy concerning that. Okay, the desolation. We'll get to the people of the prince here in a minute. Matthew 24. Oh my goodness, we've gone over an hour already. I'm having a good time. I hope you are. Matthew 24. And let's look at Matthew 23 and 24, okay? In Matthew 23, just before 24, obviously, and he says, verse 34, wherefore I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye kill and crucify, and some of them ye scourge in your synagogues, and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Becharias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. So, his crucifixion was in the year 30. All right, 3.5 years from 26 to 30. When did Titus come and destroy the temple? 70. All right, 70 minus 30. How many years was it? 40. Isn't that a generation? That's considered the number of a generation. Oh, there's other numbers, but within that generation, the desolation. God said to them in chapter 23, he said, this will come upon this generation that I'm talking to right now. You people that are hearing me right now, you're going to see this. Blood, the innocent blood from Abel to Zechariah, it's coming upon you. You're going to pay the price. I'm going to demand the price for that innocent blood that you took. Those innocent prophets that you killed. And then in chapter 24, and he said in verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. He was talking to those people in the natural. This is a double-layered prophecy. This includes what Titus is coming. He's saying 40 years from now, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, he's referring back to that same chapter of Daniel the prophet, when you see that coming, get out of town. Get out of here as fast as you can. Head for the hills. Run, flee, get out of here. In other words, if you know your city is going to be destroyed, what are you going to do? You're going to hang around? Say, well, I don't know, maybe I can make a little more money here yet. No, get out of town. I don't know, there's been some pretty nasty prophecies made about some of these American cities. If you think the day is coming closer, distance yourself. In the natural and in the spiritual. See, now, I'm talking natural. This is natural prophecy he's giving here at first. First is natural, then the spiritual. Okay? He said, whoso readeth, let him understand. When you see the abomination of desolation in the holy place church, holy place people, aren't we holy place people? Or do you want to consider yourself outer court people? I think holy place people. Okay? Then let him who is in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him that is in the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Don't go back down. Don't go back down. Don't get back down into your old natural things. Neither let him turn back to take his clothes. Don't go back with your old righteousness. Looking for, well, I got to keep more laws. I got to do this. I got to change my diet. I got to do this. I got to do that. Oh, I got to follow this, that, and the other thing. No, don't start looking and saying that's the way you're going to be saved. Look up to Mount Zion. That's where your salvation is going to come from. Okay, we got to finish. We got to go back to Daniel's next time because I didn't finish. I want to talk about in Daniel, I'll tell you what I want to talk about, and you can remind me if I fail to get there. I want to talk about the prince of the people that shall come. The prince of the people that shall destroy. Because, see, this your end time doctrine, the foundation of it is right here. If you want to go and say pre-tribulation rapture, you're going to have to deal with this. If you want to say seven-year tribulation, you got to deal with this because half that 7 years is already finished.
But the church as a whole doesn't...
The church does not read this spiritually.
They think it's 7 years.
They think this is the devil making a covenant with the people. Devils don't make covenants. They can't. Only God can make a covenant, and only God. And this 3.5 years, we got to talk about this 3.5 years. This is good material, brethren. God bless you.